Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now though, one of the major building blocks of society is the family unit. There is no denying that. But that means the decision to actively remove yourself from your family or a family member can be really isolating. As I said earlier in the show, I think it's particularly difficult at the moment given the fact that there is so much chat about family, people's connections to their family, people's need for their family. And hearing all of that can be quite difficult if you're someone who doesn't feel connected to your family. Sometimes it's out of a need for personal safety. Sometimes it's out of a need to protect yourself. You know, these are complex situations, but they're very difficult. There is one charity in the UK which offers support and research around familial estrangement. It's called Stand Alone, and its founder, Dr. Becca Bland, is on the line now to tell us about it. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about this, because it's something I've actually been thinking about for some time in the context of the pandemic. Because I do think it is a particularly difficult time if you are estranged from your family. But let's go back to the beginning. Tell me about the inspiration to set up Stand Alone in the first place.
Yeah, so I myself am estranged from my parents, and I wrote an article in The Guardian around that issue and what it was like to be estranged during the festive period. So much as the pandemic's really, really difficult, then actually the festive period also throws up so many challenges if you haven't got close connection to your family.
Yeah.
And so, in writing that article, I then drew lots and lots of people to me who felt that they were completely alone with this issue before they'd read that account. So that made me very curious. I was like, wow, it's interesting that so many people feel are the only one going through this this issue. And that gave me the inspiration, I think, to make the dialogue bigger and to start a charity around this area.
I think there will be people listening who can't fathom that someone wouldn't be connected to their family or would choose to disconnect from their family. Can you, you know, whatever you're comfortable with, would you mind telling us a little bit about your own experience just to illustrate how this can happen?
Yeah, so I'm not too keen on kind of going into the details of my own experience, but I can kind of give an account of the research that we've done around this area.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously there are things that come up that are very difficult in families, such as abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And those are really, really difficult to navigate for people within the family structure. We also have a lot of divorce and remarriage, which can really rock different family dynamics and different family patterns. And that can often lead to estrangement, particularly for young people. And also, I think then it's going into this idea that some people have completely different morals, values and beliefs to their family of origin. So that might mean that they're moving away, particularly in immigrant lifestyles, away from previous generations in terms of how they want to live their lives. So perhaps rejecting forced marriage, perhaps not living, you know, living with a partner that isn't of the same faith. So there's lots and lots of different reasons for people to become estranged from family that are very serious. And I think it's typecast as that this could be a bit of a tiff and an argument that happens. But actually, these are very long thought out, long thought through decisions that have deep roots in big family dysfunction. And that's what leads people to finally say, no, I need a boundary. I need to be able to say and keep myself safe.
And of course, these decisions are not easily made.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think it's interesting that sometimes, as I say, we do typecast this as something that happens overnight, like, you know, a small argument leads to someone being estranged for years. But in those cases, I really feel, and our research just show, that those are just like the tip of the iceberg, that the straw that breaks the camel's back, as it were. So the issues have been deep rooted for many, many years. But then that one argument perhaps then just leads to somebody saying, no, I'm afraid I can't tolerate this anymore. I'm afraid it's not good for me. My well-being is actually important to me, and I can't be around, you know, abusive dynamics.
It's interesting as well, because I know there's a lot of anxiety, like, you know, Christmas is painted as, because you mentioned the festive period there, and the Christmas time is painted as this kind of glorious coming together of loved ones. But I know more people who find the idea of coming together with family at Christmas incredibly stressful than I know who go home for an idyllic kind of picture perfect Christmas. You know, and you do have to question sometimes how good it is to put yourself in a position that is incredibly stressful. So I think it's perfectly understandable that some people would draw a line.
Absolutely. And I think the media at that time of the year often do portray family to be unconditionally close, loving, happy. And we see those adverts, don't we, where people are gathered around the table, sharing food, having a great time. And that simply is the commercial aspect of Christmas that we're fed to say that our family should look like that. And if we buy all these things, if we get all this food, if we give all these presents, then our families will be happy. But that is absolutely a myth. It's absolutely one of the myths of Christmas. I think that, you know, just because we turn up and are together means that we're going to have a nourishing, enriching family time. Often it is, as you acknowledge, the opposite, in fact. And that can be extremely painful for people because they have an image and a fantasy of what it should be. And if they can't achieve it, they often feel a lot of shame. And that can be extremely difficult for people. Whereas I think what the charity does and what I do personally as a coach is to kind of say that we, you know, this is an empowered decision not to go back to something that is ultimately going to be very damaging. And if you really feel and, you know, have these reasons that, you know, you don't feel that Christmas together is the right thing to do, you absolutely have to call that on your own boundary and not kind of give in to societal pressure.
And would I be right in saying that there is a stigma around kind of making a decision like that?
Oh, absolutely, because I think it's seen as something that's quite abnormal to do, because for many, many, many decades, we've always done it. And so it's a little bit like what happened when divorce first came out in the UK. Then people, you know, found it very difficult to talk about, and people found it very isolating and stigmatizing. But as the societal dialogue gets bigger and greater, and we realize just how many people are impacted by estrangement. So our research shows that 1 in 5 families in the UK are touched by estrangement. So that's millions of families there going through this. Then we understand that actually this is something that if we had a bit better dialogue around it, we could actually help people to feel a lot less alone. And yeah, absolutely, the stigma is probably the thing that actually leads to the shame and the dysfunction in terms of personal life, in terms of not feeling that they can be open with friends and family who they might need big support from.
What would you say if there's someone listening and they are in a situation where they're considering disconnecting from a member of their family or indeed their entire family? What would you say to them?
I would absolutely say that this is a personal decision, and what other people around you tell you is never going to be as good as the decision that you make for yourself and understand yourself. I would say that if you're considering that, then I would go and seek professional support with a counsellor or a coach who can really help you to kind of go through the process of what you want from your relationship with your family. And it may be that it's a more distant relationship. It may be an estranged relationship, because for your safety, that's what's necessary. Or it may just be a process of negotiating a much better pattern of behaviour within your family. But these are decisions that I think take time and time to sit with. So the consideration process, I think, is one that's best done over a long period. And, you know, obviously that aspect of not reacting to things instantly. And so the kind of estrangement process, in many ways, it's good to give people the chance and opportunity to put things right before the actual big decision is made that they can't be in your life. But there should be no shame in saying that I tried to make this relationship different and I couldn't. And so that means that I can't have this person in my life. I need to draw the boundary for my own well-being. That is absolutely no shame in that.
And can I ask then, you know, if once someone has made that decision and they're kind of moving on with their lives, how would you suggest that people respond to people who will say things like, oh, how could you do that? Your poor mother, your poor father, your poor whoever? Because I know that those people are out there who will make comments like that. What's a good way to kind of shut down that conversation?
That's a great question. Yeah, I think it's a case by case of where you're involved and who you're involved with. But yeah, I think ultimately it's about saying, look, I took a long time to come to this decision, or this is a decision that was really, really deeply thought through for me. I went through some really difficult things with my family member, whoever it is, like parents, siblings, and I came to the decision for my own well-being that I couldn't be in touch with them. And that's a decision that has actually been good for my life. And I really would love your support with it, if you're able to give me it. And also, every family is different. What we can do is we can project our own ideal family onto other people. So we can say, oh, well, my family's fine, so yours should be. Yeah. But ultimately, what we have to do is understand that each family dynamic is extremely different. And what is healthy and good for some people, in, you know, in terms of being in touch and having all those family members around them and having a close relationship, might not be very good for somebody else. And that's absolutely their right. Actually make that decision.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you kind of want to say, you know, people need to just consider that their life and their experience is not other people's lives and other people's experiences. You know, I think some people who have a happy Christmas, let's just say, to continue using the example of Christmas, can't imagine that it wouldn't be happy in other situations. You know, and I can tell you, as someone who has had heard their fair share of difficult Christmases, you know, it can be incredibly isolating and really make you feel like you are somehow to blame, that you're not living this kind of happy life, and the judgment of other people certainly does not help. So if when you've made this decision and you're moving on, and let's continue to use Christmas, it's, you know, it is a difficult time. It's a time that does revolve around the narrative of the happy family. What's a good way to approach it, you know, in a new way, I suppose?
I think it's about reclaiming Christmas and reclaiming the festive period, because often I think our mindset is that we have to survive this thing, that we have to survive those months. But as an individual, can we make decisions which empower us to actually enjoy parts of the season for ourselves? So you might like the twinkly lights, or you might enjoy the Christmas films, or you might enjoy the food. Like, those things, you know, we can remove from the difficult family dynamics. So it's really, I feel, about reclaiming Christmas for ourselves. So some people go, you know, for a long time, I went abroad. So I went to Asia, and this Christmas here was the first one I've actually spent in London for a long, long time, because I felt it was much easier for me and my well-being was better if I got to a country where they weren't celebrating Christmas. And that really worked for me. But this year, I actually reclaimed it in a different way and spent it with a partner, and we just had a very quiet, lovely, loving Christmas together. And, you know, obviously enforced by Corona, we couldn't see anybody else, but that, you know, that was really wonderful for me, because I actually dived into the bits of Christmas which I really enjoyed, and that was the food, that was the music, that was kind of the present opening, and I gave it a new narrative. And I think that's what ultimately we all have to work towards if we are estranged from family, is kind of coming to this point where we enjoy it for ourselves and enjoy it on our own terms, and don't see it as something to hide from or survive through. It's something we can thrive in if we do the work and we kind of allow ourselves like some joy in that season, even if it is a very, very difficult time, whilst also being congruent with difficult feelings, not ignoring them.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if there are a lot of people who had very small Christmases this year who may find that they don't want to continue to approach Christmas next year in the way that they did previously. So just in terms of the way things are right now, and as I said, there's a lot of chat around family at the moment, I think, and on social media, you know, there's lots of people talking about, you know, the one thing they want to do is see their mom or their dad and give them a big hug, and, you know, I just want to go home and have a cup of tea with my mom. And I think that can be very difficult for people who don't have the kind of relationship with parents or other loved ones, which means going home for a hug or a chat is something, you know, either accessible or positive. Would you have any kind of encouragement for people who are finding that narrative difficult at the moment?
Yeah, so I would say that we all need the feeling of family. It doesn't have to be our biological relatives that take that role, but I would encourage people to see family in the people around them, in their community, in their friendship circles, with their partners, if they have them. Then that is ultimately where we can also access this feeling of warmth, this feeling of love that we all need. And so to become estranged or to not have a connection with family doesn't mean we don't need that feeling of community, that feeling of love. But it just means that we have to seek it and, you know, need to seek it in different places. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that either. That, you know, this is, we always feel that we should get love only from our biological family, but actually we can get it from many, many other sources and places if we just trust people enough. And so I think it's about trusting, and trusting that other people will be there for us.
And that is hard, isn't it? I think sometimes people feel like it's a big ask to kind of, you know, ask someone to play that role. Not that it has to be something that's explicitly said, but I've been in a situation. I have friends who you know aren't super close to their family who've needed support in various scenarios, and you know, I have found being asked to support them is such an honor and such a privilege, you know, to be able to support someone in a difficult time where family might otherwise step in. And I always want to say that to people, because you know, friendship is a beautiful thing, whether you're the person who's helping or whether you're the person who needs help. And it's not necessarily a kind of big, you know, responsibility that you're placing on someone.
Absolutely. It's really, really difficult, especially after when you first become estranged, to trust people again. Because in some ways, when we rupture these family relationships, there's often a big aspect of betrayal, that we can't be loved for who we are, that something has happened that has meant that we haven't been shown love, or that we've actually been, in some cases, abused. And that is a very, very, very difficult place to come to other relationships from. And I think that's all about the work that you do thereafter with counsellors, with psychotherapists, with coaches, who can actually help you personally to recover your personal way of being able to trust people. And it is extremely difficult, but I think what we have to go into it with mentality is thinking that people want to support us, like we're not a burden. Like a lot of times I felt like a burden, and I think having dropped that mindset now, I realize how limiting it has been, because I ultimately meant I didn't reach out. And I think that's the power that we have to take, is that we can reach out and we can find this feeling of family with other people if we just allow ourselves to trust people enough. And that's, you know, I think the key to recovery, in my view.
Before I let you go, how can people find Stand Alone if they feel like they could do with some support?
They can find us in many ways. So we have a Twitter handle and a Twitter account at UK Standalone. And we also have a website, www.standalone.org.uk. And we are also on Facebook with Standalone Worldwide. And yes, and you can find myself on Twitter as well under Dr. Becca Bland. I've been tweeting about the programme this morning. So it's been a real privilege to come on and talk about this issue, which I think is so important.
I totally agree. Thank you so much. Dr. Becca Bland, founder of Stand Alone, thanks for coming on this morning.
Wonderful. Thank you. Louise McSherry on 2FM.